think it still is a stretch, because I think Leona put her finger on it about, would I live in such a place, you know, and certainly lots of ones I've seen, I know what the answer is. So it's what we're trying to create are places where we could live in the community, that I'd be happy living in the community, that I'd be happy being part of that community and being involved in it and having a good life and not wearing the short trousers or the things that don't, the suit that doesn't fit. So it really is about that, really building that. Rather than up to now, I think what we do is we provide services for people. And the mind shift is a bit around when we sit down and talk to someone and get to know them, how is it we can support that person to live independently, live a good life in the community? And I think that is really the challenge. And even where people are very open to that, you can see how we think and how we've done things up to now has been a particular challenge. So I want to thank the three people for coming along, and you know, they're still working on it and it is a work in progress, but I think that's the what we have to aim for. Is this something I'd be happy living in myself and living my life in? I think if we use that benchmark, well, maybe we might get near to the mark. The other couple of areas we want to talk about was how people might look at respite, and how respite might be a way of supporting people with mental health difficulties and preventing people hitting the wall and crashing and becoming acutely ill. One of our colleagues from South Tip was on her way to present this and got ill very late this morning. So we have our slides. So my colleague Fiona Keogh, who's aware of the project, is going to talk us through. So she's standing in for one of our colleagues in South Tip. Thank you, Fiona.
Okay. Yes, so that's a pity that we can't have Simone here, who'll give you obviously a much more filled in a detailed account of this, but I can give you an overview of it. I've seen them give this account of the project, but unfortunately I'll basically be reading the slides, but it does give you a sense of what this is about. So this project was about, came in last year under our Alternative Respite Grant stream, but it's a very, you know, imaginative, creative way of thinking about what we usually think of as respite. Again, somebody may be going to a building somewhere and staying there for a while. This was about a peer support service for people with mental health difficulties, and it's within the Psychiatry of Old Age service in South Tipperary. And the idea was to provide support for the service user and the carer, which would happen in the person's own home. And it would be available weekdays, out of hours and weekends, because that's when people need support. The person is facilitated in learning or regaining skills and in developing new interests. And they're at the centre of the care that's provided. And with the help of the peer support worker, they're encouraged to reach a point where they feel confident, valued and worthy of friendship and happiness. And this, of course, leads to enhanced self-esteem and better mental health. So these are people who were using the Psychiatry of Old Age service, you know, with different mental health difficulties and often with dementia. Through that support that's provided to the person, the individual, support is also offered to the carer, because if the individual is being supported by a support worker, they get obviously naturally occurring respite breaks. And that obviously helps alleviate some of the strain and stress that can be associated with caring for an individual. So the aims of the project were to support clients who are marginalised or excluded in society and who can't fully integrate into their community because of their mental ill health, to enhance the quality of life for both the service users and their carers, to decrease the stigma associated with having mental health difficulties, to lower hospital admissions and facilitate shorter hospital stays, and to alleviate carer burden. So the objectives were very much around providing person-centred care in the person's own home, doing things that would promote the individual's empowerment, their own self-esteem, their independence and their self-determination. And that's through doing things that have been described by the previous three speakers. So encouraging the person themselves to decide what they want to do, when they want to do it, what they would like to do, and supporting them in those choices and in those activities. You know, I can remember from the presentation that was given that, you know, for one person that was gardening. So they were really happy to be out in the garden or to be going to the garden centre to get, you know, stuff for the garden and so on. to also facilitate recovery through friendship and activity-based programs, like I was describing, to promote independent advocacy and encourage self-advocacy, so encourage the person to speak up for themselves, and to further improve the existing multidisciplinary mental health service that was offered. So how this was done? Well, peer support workers were recruited, I think, through the Carers Association, and these two individuals are both carers. And they were provided with an induction and training. But again, it was very much, as Leona described, about these support, these carers, and their own human skills and person skills. So the ability to kind of, you know, be flexible and relate to what the individual wants to do was very important. So the individual and the carer were included in all aspects of the intervention and in planning and implementing those activities. reflection and assessment post-intervention, monitoring effects and ill effects of the intervention with the support worker, the service user and the carer. So I know there's a lot of liaison with the wider team, and I know the peer support carers get a lot of support from within the team, because as the previous speakers have been saying, you know, this isn't easy or perfect. There are always ups and downs, and it's about supporting the individual and the workers through that, the support workers. So yeah, as it says, they've got regular supervision by attendance at team meetings and daily contact with members of the team. There's an emphasis on exploring services or activities that are available in local community. So rather than trying to set up mental health service land interventions and activities, it's looking outward into what's there in the community. And that supports people to become integrated back into their community. And making resources and information available both to the individual and the carer to help decrease stigma. The benefits beyond the life of the grant. Well, I know already this grant was designed around supporting four identified individuals from the outset, but already they haven't supported, I think it's well beyond that, I think it's 12 or maybe more people in their service through with these two peer support workers. So already they've been able to increase the range of what's being done. It is a pilot program, but they're looking at ways that it can become much more integrated into what they're doing and become the footprint for future projects in other areas. It provided a great learning opportunity for the statutory and the voluntary sector who were involved in this project, and increased a recognition of the importance for the individuals to take the lead in their own care. I think we've been hearing that again this morning. And that's being facilitated through the advocacy role that's modelled by the support worker. And there have been learning opportunities for all involved in this project, and the two support workers are now trained in mental health peer support. So I think from our point of view, it's been a very worthwhile project, and I know for the individuals involved and the two peer support workers, it's been a very good experience. From the point of view of the service user, there have been less hospital admissions, improved self-esteem, they become more empowered themselves, and the, you know, ability to self-advocate, to make choice and speak up for themselves, make decisions about what they want. For the carer, increased knowledge of when, where and how to seek help, increased activity levels and community involvement, which leads to decreased stigma because individual needs are being addressed. From the carer's perspective, there's a reduced care burden, promoting family harmony, increased support and friendship. The importance of knowing that someone cares and that help is available. I mean, we know there's a lot of research that supports that, you know, if carers receive support, they're much more likely to stay in contact and stay caring for their family member. And the knowledge of gained for the care of when, where and how to seek help is very important. Unfortunately, I can't give you any case studies, but that's the bones of the presentation. And we're glad we had the slides here to fill you in about that. It's a very interesting way of approaching respite. Thanks.